going on.
Oh yeah, because I want to move things around a little bit. Yeah, we're making this good here. Okay, so first thing you need, of course, is matzah. Ideally, shmura, either the handmade, or you got the box matzah. And right away, I'll tell you about the different level, why there's a difference. There's also a machine box shmura matzah. Okay, that's your number one thing. You also need, what else do you need?
Wine.
You need wine. All right, here's a nice little carafe of wine. You need a nice cup, ideally a permanent cup. How much should it contain, at least?
At least five about ounces.
What?
5 ounces?
Yeah, 5 ounces is good. Even 4 ounces is good.
I thought you needed 2.8 ounces.
That's a minimum amount. No, that's how much you have to drink.
Oh. There,
you have to drink just a cheek. We'll get into the drinking part. I'm gonna reenact and do with you some of the Seder. Okay, so I'll get into the Kiddush. And how many cups of wine are we gonna drink?
Four.
You guys are rock stars. Okay, you got your wine. You got your cup. You got your matzah. What do you need?
A Seder plate.
Ba-dum. A Seder plate, I'm put over here a little closer. As you can see, do you technically need a Seder plate or you need the things on the table?
You need the things on the table.
Right. You need the things on the table. They are things you're going to use as part of your show and tell of demonstrating various aspects of the story. You have your maror, you have your shank bone, you got your charoset. A lot of great recipes for charoset on YouTube. You go Ashkenazi, you go Sephardic, have fun with that. You have chazeret, you have the lettuce. The maror is the unprocessed horseradish. And the karpath, which is what you're going to dip in the salt water at the beginning part. What else do you need? What other tools of the trade do you need, guys?
Maror.
What else do you guys need?
A haggadah.
Okay, good. Now, I like to have two categories of haggadah. You need two categories of haggadah. One is your smaller haggadah for the table. Here's your standard Arch Scroll family haggadah. There's a nice haggadah. You go through, reach out to Rachel Benlisa, RachelB@JewishExperience.org. Get that $5 haggadah sent to you. We're running out of time. Check her out. And then I like haggadahs to read in advance of the Seder. I reckon, you know, you can get it. There's Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, say one. We have the Rabbi Soloveitchik one. And then we have this nice one that, and there's no end. There's a nice one. There's tons of them because if you are going to be doing a Seder with another person or even by yourself, you want to have certain things you want to read or say out loud or share. Okay? You want to prepare. What else do you need for the Seder? What else do you need?
We need the stuff to put on the plate, all that. You need marble.
Right. So you need a plate or bowl with all those items. So that's, you also need salt water. Okay. You need haggadah, you need the wine, you need the cup. Okay. We actually, since we have children, if you have a roommate, you want to do something a little more interactive and gay, because you want to have the story in a question-ask fashion, you have... You know what this is?
A pinata.
It's a pinata. We call him Lammy. what we do is that we have opened up the thing, and then when a kid asks a great question, they get to put their hand in and pull out some chocolate candy. Okay? How cool is that? Everyone,
hey, Dad, toss me a chocolate.
Sure, Shmuel, come on over.
Okay, wait a second.
All right, then my family's coming. This is my wife, Marie. This is one of my sons, Shmuel.
Where should I look?
Hi. Hi.
You have to do a little surgery before the Seder. Okay? Because a normal pinata has like an opening. So you have to close the bottom and then you have to open this with a little scissor. Otherwise, your hand gets stuck.
There you go. Okay.
Oh, and you have to take off the ears.
Okay. All right. There you have it. So that there's different things to engage. You want to like, goal is to have cause people to ask questions, your roommate. We have different props, but those are, all right, here's a little guess. Guess what this is for. For what?
Purim.
No, it's for the plague of the firstborn son.
Correct. But how would that fit in? How would that possibly fit in with a Seder?
It's storytelling.
Yeah, but why do I need such a mask?
To get the kids.
Make it memorable, interactive, and okay.
We use it as being the angel of death for the last plague, the plague of the firstborn. So we can dress up as the plague. Also, my wife, what plague is this supposed to reenact?
Hell.
Oh, hell.
Hell. All right, you guys are good. And we throw it at each other. You got to get involved in that. Hand me some more props.
Fun for everyone.
What's this for?
For
Pesach, guys, for Pesach.
Okay.
What? It's for slavery, obviously. Okay, good. What about these? What's this for?
Frogs.
The frogs for the plague of the frogs. What? All right. What's this for?
Darkness.
You guys are on it. Okay, you're on it. Okay. Those are optional. Yeah, we have a little thing on the back that's for the frogs. Again, I have six children. I like to have an engaging Seder. I want to get the kids involved. Adults get involved. I don't like a boring Seder.
Here's one good one.
Oh, we have a good one. My wife has a good one. What is that? What is that? What's this for?
It's a compass. It's which way to go out of Egypt.
Oh, this is a little compass to show which way to go out of Egypt. Okay, good. All right, we have all kinds of shit.
Oriental training.
Now, all right. Also, very important, if you have another person at your Seder, I like to monetize, dollarize. Good questions. So I have this. Everybody can see this. you see that? All right, good. That is called Seder dollars. My six children ask me questions, and depending on the level of question and answer, I give out dollars. Say dollars. Yeah, everybody gets. And then after Yontif, after the holiday's over, I cash in for American dollars. 1-to-1. Happy to do it. Coupons also. All right, that's a little bonus. And then I have a bonus round. You can pick out if they ask a very good question. They get a little thing. Here, look at this one. Can you read this?
Shopping on Amazon.
How much?
20 Seder dollars. Nice.
Yes, you can trade that. That's it. So that's awesome. That's for a super duper question. Right. We have also going bike riding with Abba and going to Stalia Steakhouse with Abba. That was a favorite. That was the special favorite the Upper West Side. All right. I digress. I want to frame out what we want to accomplish tonight. I don't have much time. We started very late. I lost 15 minutes from the other class, but okay. If you're with another person, the goal is to have an engaging conversation, okay? And if you're leading the Seder, you want to know what's going on, so I'm going to try to do that. So, but we always want to start with the goal in mind. What really is, what are we trying to accomplish? Yes, we're going to have the four cups. We're going to eat matzah. We're going to eat more. We're going to eat the whole sandwich. We're going to have a festive meal. We're going to have the afikoman. We're going to tell our story. What really is the goal of the night?
the goal of the night is telling
the goal is Seder.
Telling over the story.
Telling over the story, but that's not all. It's telling over a story to a certain degree.
Okay. Basimcha.
Close. It's telling over the story and realize that I, as a Jewish person, am the beneficiary of this Exodus to the degree that I, when I say the Hallel, the praise, it's a heartfelt thanking and praising of God for liberating and creating the Jewish people. Basically, the Seder is the combination of two American holidays, July 4th, Thanksgiving, merged together. We're celebrating the birth of a nation, right? And we are thankful for it. So it's both elements. So we can tell a story to the degree that when we say the Hallel, it's from a heartfelt manner. That's the goal. That's not a small goal. And even if you're doing it by yourself, you read the Haggadah, you'll have more time to read. The Mishnah says you even say Manishtana to yourself. You make a rhetorical question. Manishtana halalazamikolelos. How is this night different than all the nights? Okay. That's the goal. I'm low on time. I want to do a few things together with us. I want to start with Kiddush. I have wine. If you have wine at your house, feel free to join. It's a long day. I give you permission to drink. Oh, driving. Now, here's the deal. Who should, Shmuel. All right, ideally, you pour yourself a glass of wine. And we're going to make the Kiddush. I sent you a link for the, either you have a Haggadah or you're going to use the Sepharia one. But if we start from the beginning, we sing the general song. If you want to sing it with me, we sing the table of contents of that. So let's sing it all together. Get everybody in the Seder mood. If you go to the Sepharia, go to the table of contents, we'll sing it together with the tune. I'm going to sing some songs. They're all on YouTube. So we'll just get in the groove. Here we go. Kadesh or chatz, hafaz yachatz, magir rachza, mozi matza, maror korech, shulchan orech, tafun barech, halel mirza. Okay? You guys heard that song before?
Yeah.
That is on the Seder hits, that's number one. You got to know that tune. If you don't know that tune, you go onto YouTube and you say, singing the Kadesh Ruach HaTz Pesach song, you practice that. This is a very difficult year. If you are with yourself or with other people, it's going to be very hard to get in a joyous, festive mood. Therefore, get good wine, too, and you got to do some singing because it'll lift your spirits. All right, we're gonna click onto the Kiddush. That's the first link on your safaria.org/Pesach Haggadah. You saw that? I was in the link I sent today. We lift up the cup and we're gonna cover the matzah because we are now the four cups can be conceived of. I'm going to throw out a question to you guys. What does the four cups of wine have to do with the best man toast at a wedding? What does the four cups have to do with the toast of a best man at a regular wedding?
Is this a joke?
Nope.
It's not a joke. Okay.
Not a joke.
Well, then I don't know.
Anybody want to hazard a guess?
If it were a joke, I would say you need to drink four cups of wine before you thought it was funny.
That's often the case, except for the few ones that make it to YouTube. Okay. So the key point is that when the in an American best man toast, he'll first share all the embarrassing stories about his friend, the groom. Okay. But then he'll ask everybody to lift up their glass and to wish blessings of happiness and joy for the bride and groom, right? In Judaism, we lift up a glass, who are we praising?
God.
Correct. So we basically, the Kiddush, the four cups are basically four toasts to focus on four elements of the Haggadah. The first toast is sanctifying the day, talking about how the day is different. That's the first one. The second one is a blessing on, is raising a toast on the redemption at the end of the storytelling part. The third one is we lift up the glass for glass number three on the grace after meals. And the fourth one is on the Hallel. Four cups, four praising of God. Okay, I'm going to sing the Kiddush. And then, if you're going to do it, no, if you want it, it's nice to do the traditional Yom Tov tune. Now, if you don't know Hebrew that well, can you do it in English? Can you do the Haggadah in English? What do you say, guys?
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. And if you don't know the Hebrew, you should. But better is to learn the Hebrew and learn the English. But if you don't got time for that, do the English. Questions?
Well, we have a lot of time, so we can learn it for next year.
That's true. Okay, here we go. I'm gonna do it together. I'm gonna do it with everybody. If you follow along, I'm gonna read it and sing it. Here we go. Sabri Baruch Atarnoi Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Hagafen Baruch Atarnoi Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachabonu Mikol Ha'am Biromonu Mikol Lashon V'Kiddushonu V'Mitzvotav V'Titen Lanu Armoni Be'Ava Mo'adim L'Simcha Chagim Zvonim Sason Es Yom Chag HaMatzos Hazeh Siman Cheres in the Mikra Kodesh, Zeher Litzias Mitzrayim, Kivanu Vacharta, Vosan Kidash Mikolamim, Umade Kachicha, Vismcha Vososan, In Chaltanu, Barochato Aranoi, Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. And then we say the Shechianu. Barochato Aranoi, Eloheinu Mechalam, Shechianu. Vicky Manu, Vicky Anu, Lazma on Azam. Good stuff. What did I do when I drank the wine?
Lean.
Lean to the left. Whenever you drink the four cups and you eat the matzah, you got to lean to the left. Preferably, you got a nice little pillow over here. You lean because you're demonstrating that. We're all free. We're aristocrats. We are chilling like villains. All right? How much of this cup do we have to drink?
Half, majority.
Majority, minimally, ideally, the whole thing. That's why you want to get not such a big cup, a 4-ounce cup, a 5-ounce cup. That's it. Otherwise, you'll be like, you won't make it to the fourth cup. Okay. If you are alcohol intolerant, you can use grape juice. Ideally, to use wine. This is some wine. And okay.
Are certain cups better to do wine for versus grape juice, or it's the same?
That's an excellent question. You should better to do wine for the Kiddush and the other three cups grape juice.
Okay.
Because Kiddush is the first cup is doing a double duty. It is one of the four cups. It's also Kiddush that we do every Shabbat and Yom Tov. Okay. Questions about that? So that's it. We fill up the cup of wine to the top. By the way, not like they pour wine for you at a restaurant, like a little bit more than halfway. Where do you fill a cup of wine in Judaism?
To the top.
To the top. And Avdallah?
Over the brim. A little.
Over the brim, Erica, excellent. Erica? You get the first Seder done.
Thank you.
All right. It's your Seder. What can I tell you? All right. We're rocking here. Kadesh Urukhas. Urukhas is washing the hands and then dipping the vegetable into the salt water. We make a burnt pri adama. I'm going to skip that. Then we have Yachatz. Does everybody have the Safaria part?
Yes.
Okay, good. So you're gonna have three matzahs. You're gonna split the middle matzah. I'm gonna break it. The smaller one I will keep. The larger one I'm going to put in. I'm gonna hide it for the kids. It's a device. Hiding the afikoman is a tool to keep the kids up. If you don't have any kids around the Seder, you don't have to do that. You just put it away. Okay.
Can I make my parents find the afikoman?
Yeah, why not? Living on the edge.
Okay.
Anything that breeds engagement and involvement is a good thing. Okay? Now, my approach to Judaism is just get on base. What do I mean by that? I'm now going to share with you what is the minimum amount of a Seder to do the mitzvah in a halachically complete way. Okay? Do you have to read every word out of the Haggadah?
I'll take no for two Seder dollars.
You get correct, and you get one Seder dollar for that answer, because it's a Seder dollar for Dan. All right, one Seder dollar for Dan. All right, let's keep on going. All right, so we proceed. All right, the basic key point here is that there are certain things which are enhancements, and there are certain things which are core, okay? Make sense? You want to drink the four cups of wine. You want to drink them in the order that they are with their stuff. You want to tell the story in a basic way. You want to eat the matzah. You want to eat the mar. So the big part is the magid, the telling over the story. All right, does everybody see where it says this is the bread of destitution?
Yeah.
I'm going to show you on the safari, okay? There's a bread of affliction. Okay, you can say that. You can say the Manishtana, and then the answer of we were slaves to Pharaoh. Then, if you need to, you can skip past the four sons. We don't need to say them. Obviously, it's nice to say them. You could go to the, it could be from Rosh Chodesh. You can still skip out. Then you get to Mitchila. From the beginning, our ancestors were idol worshippers. Then we start telling the story, the narrative, okay? Then you want to say that, and you want to go through there till the end of the Magid section. And you're going to say through that Magid section, and then you're going to say that Rabbi Gamliel would say, you don't have to do the 10 plagues. Cut that part out if you want. Not much saving. You can also cut out the various miracles of the right? Yosef said from where he derived the Egyptians were struck with 10 plagues in Egypt and struck with 50 plagues in the sea. You can cut that out too. Cut. The Dayenu. Everybody likes a good Dayenu. Let's do a Dayenu. You guys want to sing Dayenu?
Let's go.
Are you guys in the mood for a little Dayenu action? No Dayenu action. All right. Are you guys in the mood to sing some Dayenu?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right.
Die.
Hold on.
Eric, put it this way for everybody.
All right. You can take out the guitar on Yontif, but it's not Yontif. Oh, everybody gather. One, two, three. Oh, Elu, Elu, Oceanu, Oceanu, All right, we continue. Diane. See, you don't have to say Diane, but who doesn't like a good Diane? We continue. Zipping through the Mogged. All right. Then we get to Ragamliel, three things. This is critical. Ragamliel was accustomed to say, anyone who's not said these three things on Pesach has not fulfilled their obligation. So Pesach Matzamara, which means that according to Ragamliel, the mitzvah was to explain the Exodus via the three primary mitzvahs of the holiday. Okay? Which is the mitzvah of matzah, the Korban Pesach, the Pesach offering, and the maror and the matzah. What are the three basic ideas? What is the idea of the Pesach, the Passover offering? For two Seder dollars. Two Seder dollars. What's the idea of the Pesach offering?
Like the sacrifices we made in the temple.
Well, the Passover offering was started in the temple. And then the person would take it home, roast it, and the family would eat it as part of their Seder. That was the original Seder. So the Passover offering, God, because they did that, God passed over their homes in Egypt. The basic idea was that for them was a defining moment when they became Jews. They took the lamb, which was part of the Egyptian system of the gods, put it in front of their house for 4 days, then slaughtered it, roasted it whole at a big block party, gathered all their family and friends, and ate it, which was a great affront. Which was a great affront to the families, to the Egyptians. So the fact they were able to courageously do that showed they had conviction that the idolatrous system, the material values of Egypt were false, and they were affirming Hashem and his plan for a meaningful life. That's the Pesach. What's the maror? What's the maror? What idea is that? Well, after Pesach comes matzah. I'm sorry. What does the matzah represent?
The matzah represents how we didn't have time for the bread to rise. We didn't have the luxury of time. We didn't have, yes, I'll take that for $1.50 Seder dollars.
Dan, that was a two Seder dollar answer.
Yes.
Two Seder dollars for you. Excellent. Well played. So the basic idea is that it revealed that God, redemption was so quick. It just didn't even have a chance to have the luxury of time, as you said so beautifully, to have the bread become fluffy. Remember, they didn't have fast-acting yeast, they had to use a much slower fashion, like a sourdough bread, which takes many, many hours. Okay. So that's what the matzah, so the bread, the matzah is playing double duty. It tells, it reminds us of the bread of affliction. They had meager rations, as well as the swiftness of the redemption. How God loved the Jewish people, redeemed them, and took them out rapidly. Excellent. The maror, the bitter herbs, what's that for? What did that teach us? For two Seder dollars, what do we got? Why are we having maror? Why are we having horseradish?
To remind us of the mortar and the brick of our works as slaves.
It's close. That's what we, why we dip it into the charoset, into the charoset dip. What's a maror for, guys? This is Seder 101.
The bitterness of slavery.
The bitterness of slavery. Who said that?
Mike.
Mike. Excellent. Two Seder dollars to you, Mike. All right. We continue. So, and it's a bitterness of two ways. The Egyptians made it bitter because, first of all, we had to labor in a vigorous fashion. They oppressed us. They took our children, our baby boys, threw them into the Nile, and they didn't allow us to be free to pursue our own idea of what the good of life is. So they completely stripped us of our personal dignity. Not simply, working hard per se is not a terrible thing. It was the fact that we did not have the time, luxury, to pursue that which is truly valuable. Okay, then let's have somebody read. Every generation, a person is obligated to see himself. Everybody got that part? Scroll down. After Egg and Wheel, everybody got that on the screen? Whoever gets it first can read. Anybody got it? On the Safari? In every generation, a man is a person who's always seen himself as if he left Egypt. So this is a culmination. Now, we didn't leave Egypt. So how can you say you view yourself as if, is that magic, make-believe? What does it mean you have to view yourself as if you left Egypt? What are we trying to say here? You didn't leave Egypt. You didn't exist 3,300 years ago.
But we're fulfilling the mitzvah of retelling the story of the Exodus, right?
Correct. But it says in every generation, a person is obligated to see himself as if he or she left Egypt. But you didn't. What is this like? What are we doing? Are we playing a little bit of a make-believe at the Seder?
Well, if you look at the current circumstances, I mean, you can kind of see it as when we eventually get out of the current situation that we left our own generation's Egypt. And essentially that we're supposed to understand that we were once slaves and that not to oppress others and however we understand our own Egypt.
Melissa's a very good thought. Yes, the Egyptian, in other words, there's two parts. One is that you can explain in two ways. One way is that I view myself as if I left Egypt, as if I am a direct beneficiary of that Exodus, which I am. I'm happy and proud to be a Jew. If there was no Exodus, I wouldn't be here. One. And B, Egypt, the state of oppression, did not end when Paro's empire ended. And we said that it was, I didn't get a chance to highlight that, something we say every time. Maybe I'll close with this because I don't want to go too much past 10:15, but I'll just say, back up, scrolling back, the Hisha Amda. I'm scrolling back into Magid. I just want to bring out Melissa's point from the Haggadah itself. If you scroll back, fortunately, many pages. It's right above Magid First Fruit Declaration, the paragraph right above that, and it is this promise that has stood for our ancestors and for us since it's not only one person or nation that stood against us to destroy us, but rather in each generation they stand against to destroy us, but the Holy One, blessed be He, rescues us from their hand. The Jewish people, in the last 3,300 years of our existence, have faced many threats for our existence. First, Pharaoh tried to destroy us. He was not successful. Then we went into the land of Canaan, and they tried to destroy us. And Amalek tried to destroy us. Ultimately, we were vanquished by the Babylonians. They tried to destroy us, but they were not successful. They failed. The Persian Empire, then they failed. The Greek Empire, the story of Hanukkah, they tried to push us into extinction. They failed. The Roman Empire destroyed our temple, exiled us. They tried to destroy us. They were not successful. The Islam, the rise of Muhammad and Islam, they oppressed the Jews also, not successful. Christianity, Inquisition, pogroms, the Holocaust, till we have today with the coronavirus, all the stress that's causing us. The fact is, what we celebrate tonight, on the Seder night, is the fact that there's a Jewish people. And standing behind the Jewish people is Hashem. Hashem is not allowing us to disappear. And that's something that is worthy of raising your glass tall and celebrating. And that's part of the joy of the night, is that the Jewish people are not alone. The Jewish people may be vulnerable, but we're not leaving. And to the extent that we embrace our values and share them with the world and our source of light and wisdom to them, we will be stronger. And that is part of the celebration that we celebrate. So even if you're having a Seder by yourself, which is not what you would want to optimally have, you can still drink and toast to that reality. Because ultimately, all of us, and we feel this very acutely when we're sitting alone in our self-quarantining or self-separation of the coronavirus, that we might be alone, but we as the Jewish people, we are never alone. And Hashem is with the Jewish people, and we celebrate that. And to the degree that He even we're still here. And that really is what, so it doesn't make a difference if you're having a Seder for one or a Seder for two, or if there are people who are around the table that are missing and you miss them deeply. Ultimately, the most important Seder is a celebration of the goodness that Hashem has granted us. And everybody has to think about what you're grateful for. And that's a nice conversation to have. So I want to end with that I want to wish each and every one a happy and healthy and sweet and festive Pesach. And it should be a source of joy. And even though that we are, all of us are dealing with tremendous challenges, that we should be able to have a special Pesach. And the fact that you're doing yourself is an act of empowerment, that you now are going to learn to do it better and better. And you'll spend some time looking at the Haggadah in advance. And it might not be your favorite Seder that you're going to have, but it will definitely be a Seder that you will never forget. And hopefully it's a moment of reflection and a special time for each and every one of us. So I want to wish you all the very best for a wonderful Yontif, a great Pesach, Chag Kosher B'Sameach. And again, if you have any questions about anything Pesach related or getting ready for the holiday, best way to grab me is on my WhatsApp chat, which was sent out from the, on the MG email. If you don't have it, you can send me a email and I will send you a link to it. You can ask me any question about anything, and I do my best to be responsive. Any questions? Okay. So to that I say to you all, I'm going to end the class off with what a Jew should say to another Jew.
L'chaim.
L'chaim, everyone. L'chaim to life.
That background frog looks like it could be coronavirus.
There, and I want to keep, you know, the keeping in the theme there, Michael. Keeping with the theme. All right, guys.
All right, thanks, Rabbi.
Thank you.
All the best, guys. Have a great night. Lala Tov.